Please turn in your Bibles tonight to Haggai chapter 2. We covered the first three verses last Wednesday night. That's right after the book of Zephaniah and right before the book of Zechariah, if that helps you any. We'll go ahead and read the first five verses. We're going to deal with verses 4 and 5 tonight. In the 7th month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Joshedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Joshedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. These are words of encouragement. It's the title of the message tonight. I think it's really interesting when you compare the first prophecy by Haggai with this second prophecy. In the first one, he was warning. He was reproving. He was chastising. And now we find Haggai offering words of encouragement to all the people as they engaged in the work of the Lord, even though this present structure was not going to be anything in comparison like the Solomon's temple, he tells them to be strong, to be of a good courage. Fear not. God is with you. His Spirit is among you. So whereas he was reproving them, and now that they've hearkened to the Word and they've believed what he said, now he's encouraging them. And I think it's a note to preachers. Preachers need wisdom from God to know when to reprove and rebuke with all authority and when to encourage and to edify as they preach the Word. You know, if a preacher's all the time constantly reproving and you can get beat down. So there's got to be a measure, a balance. And I think Haggai demonstrated that. So Haggai encourages Zerubbabel, Joshua, and all the people to be strong and to continue the work. And I thought, wow, what wonderful practical advice for the people of God in every age. No matter where you are in the Bible, whether it's in the days of Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Solomon, the apostles. Doesn't matter where you're at in the Bible timeline, these words are pertinent. And certainly they're for us today. I mean, basically, real practical. Draw strength from God, from His Word, His presence, and then devote your spiritual and physical energy to working for God. That's a timeless message. It ought to be something that the people of God think about, meditate upon, and apply each and every day. Now, the language used by Haggai in these verses is very similar to the admonition that King David gave to Solomon when he was charged to build the house of the Lord. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 10 and also verse 20, it sounds very similar. And I think it's important to see that there's this connection between the encouragement that King David gave to his son who was following him as he built the temple, and now this prophet is encouraging these people as they strive to rebuild the temple in order to glorify the Lord. But here's what David said to Solomon. Take heed now. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. What encouraging words. You know, you'll find all through the Bible that there are lots of passages urging people to be strong, to be fearless as they trust in their sovereign God. In times of great distress, David told us, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We find in 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul said to the Corinthians, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. We are urged over and over again to draw our strength, our stamina, our vital energy, our spiritual wisdom and grace and strength from God Almighty. And if we're trusting in Him, believing in Him, walking with Him, and applying the truth of His Word and relying on Him, we have nothing to fear. No matter how bad the circumstances or the situation may be, the obstacles that we may face, the trials that may be ahead, the opposition from the ungodly. People of God have faced this at all times. And I believe you and I, as we're striving to build up the house of God here, the church of the living God, we're going to continue to meet with opposition, with obstacles. We are living in a land that has no moral fabric left. We have devolved and degenerated into perversity and immorality and ungodliness. And we have been called at this time and this day to be strong, to stand, and to preach the truth, and to share the truth of God with a desire and with a love in our hearts. We want to see people saved. We want to see people changed by the power of God. Listen, whether or not the economy of the United States ever gets back on track, or whether things iron out in civil society, we ought to be working for God. No matter what. Even when times are bleak. And I've warned you, I believe we are heading for some really rough waters in the days ahead. I feel as though, you see it. I don't watch the news, but you don't have to. You hear things. The fact of the matter is, we are living in a country that is increasingly hostile to Jesus Christ, to the Word of God, to the Gospel, And we need to draw strength from God. Because a lot of people are quitting. There's a lot of Baptist churches that are folding up their tent and they're capitulating to the woke agenda, to the LGBTQP and the rest of the alphabet. They're falling by the wayside because they fear being canceled or being hated by the world. Listen, Jesus said, "Marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me first." And we don't have to do anything but stand for what's right and what's true and share the gospel. And I guarantee you that there will be blowback from this world, and we're seeing it. We need to be strong. When he's talking about fighting the devil, he told the Ephesians, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in high and dark places, high places." He's talking about Satan and his emissaries. They are alive and well. He ain't chained. He is a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we need to put on the whole armor of God every day and trust God as we build and battle, as we pray and work. And that's what the message has been from the times of the Old Testament to the New Testament. He says, be strong and get to work. Do the work of the Lord. When he was talking to the young preacher Timothy, he knew what he was facing because Paul had already experienced so much in the way of persecution. I mean, he'd been shipwrecked, he'd been stoned, he'd been beaten with rods in the name of Jesus Christ. He'd been imprisoned unjustly. And he tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I believe Paul told the Hebrews and reminded them in Hebrews 12:33-34, "who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Be strong and work. That's the message. It's a timeless message for God's children. We got a lot to do. And you know what? There's never a time that you retire in the Christian life. There's never a time where you can lay down the weapons of your warfare, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's never a time when you can lay that all aside. No, you are engaged in a spiritual warfare. And we've got to endure to the end. You know, people say, do you believe in enduring to the end? Absolutely. That's perseverance of the saints. We're preserved by the grace of God so that we will persevere to fight the good fight of faith and not give up. Now is not the time to quit. There's too much at stake. Now you'll notice something. After he says, "I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts," he says in verse 5, and he points them back to the covenant that he made with them. "According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not." You know what he's telling them to think about, to reminisce about, to reflect upon, to meditate, to think deeply about as they engage in this work? He wants them to know that the presence and power of the Lord with His chosen nation was connected to the covenant that God made with Israel when they came out of Egypt. Think about what God did with the Israelites. It's nothing short of miraculous. They were slaves. They were building pyramids for the pharaohs. And God delivered them from the bondage of Eden, from the bondage of Egypt. Yeah, boy. You preach long enough, you'll probably have Moses on the ark and there's all kinds of things that you might just spit out wrong. But God delivered them in a miraculous way from the bondage of Egypt, from the tyranny of Pharaoh, and He did it how? They had to have faith in the blood of the Passover lamb. That's how they were redeemed. A most unlikely, really unbelievable way of deliverance when you get right down to it. God had, He had shown His hand and destroyed every false god the Egyptians had. And the last one, God was going to show them that He had control over all of life. And if they didn't have blood on the doorpost, the firstborn of everything, animal and human being, would die in Egypt that night. And that's exactly what happened. Except for those who followed the command, who by faith believed what God instructed them about killing that lamb and applying the blood on the doorpost. And He would pass over them and the destroyer would not hurt them. They believed God. He redeemed them. And that, of course, the Passover lamb is typical of the blood of Jesus Christ, that covenant blood that redeems the people of God and buys us unto Christ. He bought us with His own blood. He released us from the tyranny of Satan and the captivity of Satan and the bondage of sin all through the blood of the Lamb. We have the same connection that they did to a covenant-keeping God through faith in the blood of the Lamb. They were redeemed by God's grace. They were set free from Egyptian captivity, typified through the shed blood of the Passover Lamb, which was a type of the redeeming work of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Israelites also were miraculously saved from Pharaoh and his army. One of my favorite accounts, historical accounts in the Bible. When the children of Israel had come to the Red Sea, there was a mixed multitude. There were some people that had come from Egypt that were there. There were people among the Israelites. They were complaining and they were scared. And Moses took that rod and he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And all of a sudden the waters just rolled back. The waters of the Red Sea rolled back. And the floor of the sea was dry. And they went over dry shod. Again, Haggai's telling them, remember what God did on your behalf. He redeemed you through faith in the blood of the Passover lamb. He brought you through those waters. You went over dry shod. The Israelites saw the waters on both sides roll back. And they went over. And remember what God did when you got to the other side and Pharaoh presumed to come with all his chariots of war. God rolled the waters back. He destroyed your enemies. He protected you. This is the message of Haggai. God is a covenant-keeping God. The same God that delivered you from Egyptian bondage and from Pharaoh's tyranny is the same God that will be with you today as you build this temple, as you battle your adversaries. God is with you of a truth. They were saved miraculously. And then once they got to the other side, they saw their enemies destroyed in judgment. They saw all of that. And yet, and still, they had challenges. They had a lot of unbelief. But God never forsook them. He was their covenant-keeping God. Even when they didn't believe His promise about going into the promised land, He was with them in the 40 years of wandering. He was with them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And He provided for them all through their wilderness wanderings. God gave His chosen nation the moral law to govern their lives and civil laws to govern their society. This prophet is reminding them, God is with us of a truth. And all of these remembrances would remind the Israelites that God would never leave them nor forsake them. That's why I still believe so strongly in a real spiritual and physical future for the nation of Israel. God promised them so much, and His promises, He won't go back on them. He entered into covenant with them, and He tells them plainly, "So My Spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not." The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the sacred Trinity, was in their midst. They had no reason to fear as long as the Lord dwelt among them. They could be confident that God was superintending their efforts at building this new temple. And all of these words of encouragement centered around the power of God, His preserving grace, and His presence among the people. They just had to trust Him. Certainly by way of application, we can see that what God said to the Israelites of old regarding the building of the temple serves as a parallel to the Lord's promise to forever be with His churches that are carrying out the Great Commission until Jesus Christ returns. Matthew 28:18-20. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God dwell among and in His New Testament churches. Today, personally, He's in our presence. He's with His churches that are preaching the gospel, baptizing the converts, and teaching them to observe the all things that He's commanded. He said, "Lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world, the end of the age." So what an encouragement for us today. These words have power. God was with His covenant people and chosen nation in ancient times as they built the temple. And God is with us as we labor in the Lord's churches, seeking to build them up in God's name and for His glory and His honor. He's with us. So don't get discouraged We just got to fight on. Even when the odds are against us and it seems as though the forces of ungodliness may be overwhelming, God's done great things with small things. Great things with small people. Let's trust Him. Let's not fear the adversaries, but believe in the living God.